He said, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? It ain't going to get better, Jeremiah. It's going to get worse. You see, if Jeremiah is down and out in chapter 12, he's going to be in real bad shape in chapter 36. He's going to be in real bad shape when they drop him down in that dry well with the mud in the bottom of it. He's going to be in real bad shape when all he's got is bread and water. He's going to be in real bad shape. If he can't get over where he's at now, he's going to have a real hard problem. A few chapters on down, he's going to have a real hard problem. He says, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of the field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? He's putting all the blame now on the unsaved. He said, it's all the wicked. It's the wicked that's caused us. That's why California's on fire. That's why Colorado's burning down. It's the wicked. That's why the floods are taken away. That's why the hurricanes come up through the Gulf. It's because of all the wicked. No, he forgot. God said this judgment is coming because of the people of God. You see, God has already told Jeremiah about the people of God and his people and my people and described them just like God said, if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, God will do something. He told him, he said, if you'll seek the old paths, He said, we're not going to do that. Look back in Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse number 16. He dealt with the issue of their sin and their lack of shame and their no blushing. And he says in verse 16 of chapter 6, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You see, it was the people of God that God was dealing with, not all the ungodly. It just happened to be the ungodly were gaining position because the people of God weren't doing what they're supposed to do. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Jeremiah's already said in chapter 8, I'm black with astonishment. I can't understand. The harvest had ended, summer's ended, and harvest passed, and you're not saved. And he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Why aren't you getting right with God? Jeremiah has forgot they turned God down time and time again. Jeremiah's now looking at the terribleness of the conditions that it has brought in upon his nation, and now he's looking at it through another set of glasses, and he's thinking, I tell you what God needs to do is kill all this bunch of hypocrites and this wicked bunch, amen. But no, that's not what God says he's going to do. So going back to Jeremiah chapter 12, you're letting the land mourn. The land itself is suffering because of the wicked. Those that dwell therein, the last part of the verse, he says, the beasts are consumed, the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. He said, even nature is suffering because of the wicked. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. Note what Paul says concerning the same subject. Romans chapter number 8. He says in verse 18, for I reckon, and that means that word reckon, old timers use it a lot. You've added up, you've put together, you've calculated, and this is what you come out with the sum of the matter. Amen. You've reckoned it. You've figured it out. I figured it out. I've reckoned. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, I've looked this thing over. I've considered all this. We are suffering. We are in trouble. We are having problems. But he said, I figured it out. What we're going through now is not even compared with the wonder, the glory, the marvelous stuff that's going to be given to us when this thing is all over with. And then he said, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. He said, everything, the whole creation's waiting for God's people to be blessed. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hey, the ox and the lamb and the lion and the bear and all the rest of them is going to get along. Ain't that something? They're going to be getting along with one another. And the hornets, you won't be spraying black flag up in their nest anymore. No. Because you just reach in there and get you a handful of them and play with the little fellas and watch them run around and fly, whatever. They won't bother you no more. You see, even all the creation is suffering because of sin. The problems in this life is not going to get better until God resolves all of it and finishes it out. So he's asking, he says, why is all this going on? Why are you allowing it to happen? Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you just get rid of that crowd, wipe them out, get rid of them, let us take over, amen. Hey, Jeremiah, you forgot it's that crowd it's a crowd you want to take over. It's got you in this problem. Amen. It's kind of like we looked around the middle of this year and the COVID mess has come in like there's never been anybody ever died before. I mean, they come on the news like we've never seen anybody die before. We've never seen anybody die. When the flu come through in the early 1900s, it wasn't the elderly sick that died. Infants died. Mothers died with children in their womb. Mothers died nursing their infants. Mothers died with four or five little children around them. They buried them one, two, three, four, and five at a time. Whole families died. Young died. Healthy died. Everybody died. Thousands died. Amen. This is not the first time somebody ever died, but we're acting like nobody ever died before. They will die and will continue to die until Jesus comes and gets us. It's been a good while ago. I was listening to the morning news on the radio one morning. We used to on 88.9, I believe it was, on the FM radio. We got the same news that was on Channel 8 TV, amen. So, you know, we're stupid and we want to listen to the news. Most of it's a bunch of junk, amen. But I was listening to it one morning, and you might remember, I think it was the first thing that died maybe was a panda in the Washington Zoo. A panda died. I believe it was a panda, which is one of them bears everybody likes, amen. And then a couple of other exotic animals died. And then in another zoo in another state, a couple exotic animals died. And then another, and it's like in maybe 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, in 4 or 5 or 6 several zoos, there was several animals die. Boy, they was all upset. The zoologists in several of these states were upset. And so was these newscasters upset. Boy, it was on the news, on the news, on the news. And so they called in, some kind of a head zoologist, and he's over that zoo there in Washington, D.C., and they called him in, and they had him in there. And they was questioning him, and they said, they talked about all the different deaths, and they said, you don't seem to be upset. He said, I'm not upset. Well, you don't seem to even be bothered. Doesn't it bother you that these animals die? He said, no, it doesn't bother me. Boy, they was really fixing to tear him apart. I mean, they said, what's the matter with you? I mean, he said, because I know every one of the animals in our zoo is going to die. And all the animals in all the zoos are going to die. And he said, not only that, you're going to die, and you're going to die. And he spoke the names of those two newscasters. He said, you're going to die, and guess what? I'm going to die. And he said, until you wake up and realize death is real and it's a part of this life and a part of this world, he said, you're going to stay in the condition you are. But he said, I know that death is a part of life. I said, man, did he ever shut up, two idiots? You see, we've been sold a lie. And is COVID real? Yes, it's real. Is cancer real? Yes, it's real. Is cardiovascular disease real? Yes, it's real. Does anybody want to have a stroke? Nobody wants to have a stroke. Does anybody want to have MS? Nobody wants to have MS. Does anybody want to have athlete's foot? No, nobody wants to have athlete's foot. We've got to understand, Jeremiah said, why don't you just wipe out all the problems and let us have it? Get rid of all the bad stuff and let us have it. But he just said, realize there's a bad thing happened back there in the garden in Genesis. And God has done told us that sin has never brought good. It always brings bad. And God doesn't change because things happen. Amen. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sickness, disease, horrible things have happened to the people of God all down through the years. Hey, Cain killed Abel. Could God have stopped Cain from killing Abel? Sure, he could have stopped him. Amen. I'm talking about the first family in the Bible. I was dealing with a man on the street one day. He was drinking, and I'd seen him several times. He'd come through the street service. We have a preaching on the street every Wednesday night. That's what they're doing right now, and we do that from May until Christmas, and then it gets weather's stops us, amen. And we preach every Wednesday night. We sing, we worship, we praise God. We have people line up, and we have people in cars, and we have people standing on the street, and thank God we have a good time, amen. But we have sometimes drunks that come through and people that come through and so forth and so on. And this one fella, he was staying in a building that belonged to my wife's nephew. He's a lawyer, and he was staying in that building. His motorcycle had broke down, come into town, his motorcycle had broke down, and he was letting him stay, and he was supposed to get his motorcycle fixed. And we'd talked to him several times. Matter of fact, we loaded up food, took it to him. I know at least once, maybe twice, my wife, I remember. Because he said, you know, I don't have any food. He's a liar. He had some food. But, I mean, we took him some food, amen, and set it outside for him. He was gone that day, and he wasn't there, but I set canned food and stuff he could eat. So he said, my son got killed by an automobile, and I'm angry at God. God could have stopped that. I said, you think God should have stopped that? I said, well, I've heard you spit out a few nasty words. I said, you think God ought to stop that? I said, I see you're drinking again this evening. You think God ought to stop that? I said, I see he's already busted up his home. I said, you think God ought to stop that? I said, the problem is all you want God to stop is what you don't like. I said, but all your sin, you don't want God to mess with your problems, amen. I said, you're mad at God because he didn't do something you wanted him to do. But I said, God could have killed you and kept you from ever having a boy. Amen. I said, that would have been an easy way to solve the problem. Just killed you before the boy was born. Are you listening? And so Jeremiah, he is appalled at God not stepping in and taking over and doing something about it. And he doesn't understand, why is God not solving my problems? And here's what God says. He says, Jeremiah, verse number 5, God answers, if thou hast run with the footman, that's under Josiah. You've done pretty good under Josiah, Jeremiah. You've done pretty good under Trump. He said, if you have run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? It ain't going to get better, Jeremiah. It's going to get worse. You see, if Jeremiah is down and out in chapter 12, he's going to be in real bad shape in chapter 36. He's going to be in real bad shape when they drop him down in that dry well with the mud in the bottom of it. He's going to be in real bad shape when all he's got is bread and water. He's going to be in real bad shape. If he can't get over where he's at now, he's going to have a real hard problem. A few chapters on down, he's going to have a real hard problem. Are you listening? God says, Jeremiah, you run with the footmen and they've wearied thee. How are you going to make it with horses? How are you gonna stand it when it gets real bad? How are you gonna make it when things are real terrible? Amen. You see, Jeremiah, from this time forward, he is persecuted, he is abused, he is hated, he is despised, they say you're a traitor, you're a spy, you're against your own people. They've told everything on him, amen. You're a false prophet. They put him in the dungeon. He would have died if it hadn't been for one Assyrian. And he went to the king, got permission to pull him up out. He was so bony and wobbly they had to put rotten rags under his armpits to keep him pulling his flesh off the bone. They drug him out, amen. I tell you what God did. He got Jeremiah ready for what was going to happen, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we need to know the truth. We don't need to be, we don't need a candy cane. We don't need just a chocolate cake and a little pie and go home. We need to understand there's some things in this Bible, praise God, that's still in the Bible, and it's going to be exactly like God said it's going to be. Amen. See, Jeremiah, I told you, don't look at their faces. I told you what was going to happen. Jeremiah, you should have known. I've already told you what was going to happen. You see, number one, God has not deceived us. God has not deceived us. Jeremiah, if you've made it when things was at peace, how are you going to survive in the swelling of Jordan? What are you going to do when things are bad? What are you going to do when things are going wrong in every direction and there's nothing going right and no one has any desire to do what's good? What are you going to do then, Jeremiah? It woke up Jeremiah. It woke up Jeremiah. Now, it didn't take away his humanity. It didn't take away his humanity because he had some other discouraging moments, but he come right back out of it. When he got discouraged and the fire started burning low in his bones, he said, it got caught right back up, caught me on fire. I come right back out of there preaching, amen. They locked him up, throwed him into prison, bread and water, and they said, we need a message from God. He said, I ain't got nothing but the same message I had before. He said, still the same message, amen. The end of Jeremiah's life, he's carried to Egypt against his will. Jeremiah, if you're running with, hey, how good, we want Trump back, we want Trump back. How good have we done while he's been in there? Have we stormed our nation with the gospel? Have we stormed the streets with the gospel? Have we stood in front of the liquor stores and give out tracts and preached the word of God? Have we done like our forefathers and stood up against the wickedness of our land? Hey, Jeremiah, you haven't done everything you could have done when Josiah was alive. You didn't make it so good when things were well, Jeremiah. Now it's going to get bad. Amen. Hey, I don't know how the election is going to go tonight, but I know one thing. God has not changed. Number one, God has not deceived us. God has not left us with something he didn't tell us. He told us sin would wax worse and worse. He told us wicked men would be in the positions they're in. He told us the battle was going to be with wickedness in high places. He told us every bit of it. He did not leave us deceived. Hey, if the whole bottom falls out, God's still real. If the whole bottom falls out, the Bible's still true. If the whole bottom falls out, praise God, the church will go on, amen. It started in hiding. It may have to go back into hiding. Amen. Jeremiah, if you run with footmen and they wearied you, then how canst thou contend with horses? Jeremiah, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, you see, Jeremiah was trusting in Josiah's wonderful leadership. See, God has said, Jeremiah, the land is wicked. My people's turned their back on me. My people's hewed out cisterns that can hold no water, and they've forsaken the fountain of living water. They've got the place they no longer blush. They commit abomination, not even ashamed. But now Jeremiah's forgotten all that because Josiah's brought a little revival. There's been a little appeasement under Josiah. He said, you made it in the land of peace, and that's what you trusted in. Josiah's going to live on. Josiah's going to stay on the throne. Josiah's going to bring revival to us. Josiah's going to turn it all around. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God can do what He wants to do with anybody, anytime, anywhere. And we better begin to trust God. I tell you, we need to make Jesus great and maybe not America great. Amen. I wonder if we could ever get a politician to stand up there and say, let's make Jesus great again. Let's make God great again. Let's make the Bible great again. Let's make holiness great again. Amen. The second thing, Jeremiah, is God's only standard is holiness. You see, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what anybody promotes. There's only one standard in the Bible. It's holiness. Preacher, what should I wear? What's holy? How should I look? Holy. How should I act? Holy. There's only one standard. There's only one standard. And every bit of all the choices we make is boiled down to one word. Is it holy? Well, what about going to the movies? Is it holy? Should I go here or there? Is it holy? Should I have this or that? Is it holy? Hey, if you're honest with God, God says there's only one standard. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. That'll cover every base. That'll cover every base. I tell you, the problem is we're like Jeremiah. We've looked at ourselves. Hey, God, you see me. You know me. You know who I am. Amen. I go to the Baptist church. Are you holy? He said, I'll tell you the problem, Jeremiah, they've forsaken the Holy One. That's the problem. They're trusting in the temple. They said, the temple. We have the temple. And guess what? They did have the temple. We have the scribe. Well, they did have the scribe. We have the scrolls. They did have the scrolls. We've got the book. They did have the book. But I tell you what they didn't have. They didn't have holiness. They'd had no holiness. They'd thrown out holiness. They rejected holiness, amen. And I tell you what's happened in our movement today. We're fast throwing holiness out the window. Amen. And we're crying, oh, let Josiah stay on the throne. Well, what have we done while he was there? He said, while Josiah was there, it worried you, Jeremiah. You've been wearied with the good days. You've not done your best under the best situation. What are you going to do now when the horses come in? Hey, the real test is going to be what we're going to do if we don't have four more years of a better leader. That's going to test us. Hey, the COVID test is pretty good. We've about thrown the church over the hill for the COVID mess. Amen. Hey, we used to preach from this Bible and said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are called according to His purpose. Until COVID come, that's no longer true anymore. Isn't that amazing? That verse we've quoted all of my life, and I've preached it hundreds and hundreds of times. It's no longer valid now. COVID's come. Forsake not this assembling yourself together that he read as a matter of some is. And even the more, we've preached that all these years until COVID come. Well, now that's not the truth anymore. COVID means more than that. Are you listening to me? What are you going to do, Jeremiah? What are you really going to do now? We're going to really find out what you're going to do. Hey, we're going to find out, Jeremiah, because now the land of peace in which thou hast trusted, it ain't going to last. What are you going to do in the swelling of Jordan? What are you going to do when there is no peace? There are several explanations when the Jordan swelled. It's talking about the river flooding like it did every year. But I tell you what it swelled with. It swelled with the enemy's horses. Thousands and thousands and thousands of them. Are we listening? Holiness is God's only standard. What am I going to do for recreation? Anything that's holy? How are we going to entertain ourselves? Just anything that's holy. You see, what we have done, we've dissected the Word of God, dissected the standards of the Bible, dissected the preaching of the Word of God, and made a way for us to get away with whatever we want to do in this life. It's not the will of God. Amen. Says, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they weary thee. You know what God's people have always done when it was peaceful? They've dropped their standards. Every time. Every time. They went into bondage. God sent them a judge. The judge come in. I mean, some maybe it was a judge that wasn't much of moral himself, but he might have been like Samson. He just whooped the devil out of every one of them, amen. But as soon as they had liberty and they was free, they went right back to the way they were.